out. And we're going to be looking as a text for us today and probably for next week, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus is talking to Peter, and he said, "I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If you take all of the people who have ever gone to a basketball game, ever gone to a football game, ever gone to a baseball game or a tennis match or any public sporting event, and you add them all up for a single year, guess what? That number would not equal the number of people who go to church on a single Sunday. Now, boy, when I read that, I had to think about that a little bit. That's kind of an amazing thing to think about. You take all the people who've ever gone to a basketball game, football game, baseball game, tennis match, or any sporting event, you add them up all up for a whole year, and they don't equal the number of people who go to church on a single Sunday. More people will go to church today than those who will go to all the sporting events combined in America in an entire year. That's amazing. Well, it would be amazing, except for the next thing I'm going to tell you about. Many of those same people who go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday have no idea why they attend, or they only have a very vague idea. Some of them go out of tradition. Some of them go out of guilt. Some of them go out of force of habit. Some of them go because that was the way they were raised. They don't know any different. But they really don't know why they go. And even more, they have no idea what a church should be about. They have no idea what a church should do. They have no idea what the mission of their church is at all. So what I want to do today is I want to show you the purpose of a church, a Christian church. Our church at Fountain Inn, this church here at White Plains, I want to show you what our churches ought to be about. Specifically, what should you spend your time doing as a church? What should you spend your money on as a church? What are you supposed to be doing as a church? Why do we do what we do? In other words, why did we all get out of bed this morning and come to church? Why do you have the buildings here on this property? What should this church be doing to fulfill the reason for its existence? Well, let me get right into it. There are five things God wants you to do. There are five things God wants this church to spend its time, its talents, its energies, and its monies doing in every event. Every program, every dollar that you spend ought to be designed around the idea of accomplishing one or more of these five things. You say, "Well, Preacher Mike, why are you preaching this message today?" Well, number one, it's the one God gave me, okay? And well, I'll just quit and leave it at that. But number two, I've been pastoring a long time, folks, and I have seen people in all kinds of churches everywhere. And what I'm going to tell you today, they don't really know. They don't understand. Most of the people in our churches today, and when I say this, I'm thinking about my church in Fountain Inn. Most of the people in our churches today think about all there is to a church is, we'll go on Sunday morning, you know, 10 o'clock, be in a Sunday school class, listen to a teacher teach, 11 o'clock, listen to a preacher preach, and that's about the extent of it. And we've spent millions of dollars for all these facilities and all this type stuff and all this programming. But I mean, listen, if that's all you're going to do, you could just rent a little old building somewhere on Sunday morning and just about take care of that. Why are you here? This is kind of going along with Wednesday night, what we did Wednesday night. Why are you here? Somebody told me, I think, that your church was established 1884, something like that. Monty, were you here when y'all established the church in 1884? You laid the cornerstone? All right, well, why do you do what you do? Why are you here? What are we supposed to be doing as a church? Five things. Number one, take notes if you want to. First thing is worship. God wants us to center our lives around Him and worship. And the church helps you to center your life around God in worship. Very simply, We're to worship God. Now, I want to tell you something that may surprise a lot of people. God did not put you on earth to live a self-centered life. He did not put you here for your benefit. He put you here for His benefit. That's why you're here. You exist for God, not vice versa. And God wants to be the hub of your life. He wants to be the axis of your existence. He wants to be the core of your being. He wants to be the focus of your attention. In other words, God wants to be the very center of your life. And since that's so, you and I are to worship Him. Now here's a verse that'll help you with the idea of worship. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38 says, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And that verse says that the most important thing you can do with your life is to know God and to love God, and that's known as the greatest commandment. Do you know what the greatest sin is? Not to do it. You know, in other words, we're to know and love God. And that's the first purpose of our lives. God put us here on earth in order that we have a relationship with Him. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people live all their lives and they don't get that relationship with God. And they miss the first purpose of their lives. But you and I were made to know God. Somebody says, "Well, I've got religion." God doesn't want you to have religion. We got too much religion already. God wants you to have a relationship. That's what He's looking for. And whenever you focus on God and you put Him first in your life, that involves worship. So every Sunday morning, about 11 o'clock, this church has a time when it tries to help people focus their attention on God. And then we come back 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, Sunday night, and do the same thing. We have time for people to worship. Now, somebody says, "Well, what's the best way to worship? Do I light a little bit of incense in my worship? Do I have to say certain things, certain chants over and over like some people do in churches? Do I have to do that? Do I have to wear certain kinds of clothes? Do I have to have a suit, coat, and tie on? Or can I wear robes and tunics and sackcloth and ashes? Or can I wear jeans and sloppy shirts and flip-flops? Do I have to sing certain kinds of songs? Do we have to perform certain kinds of music?" The answer to all of that is no. You know, in the Bible, there is one verse of Scripture that tells us how to achieve genuine worship. It's found over there in John chapter 4, verse 23. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, "True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Did you hear what He said? He's looking for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean? Well, take the idea of worshiping Him in spirit. That just means that you don't just give God lip service. You know, some of the biggest hypocrites in the world are found in churches when we sing that song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." You know, we'll sing that, and as we're singing that, we're thinking about the ball game yesterday or the roast cooking in the oven or something else. And God is saying to us, don't be a hypocrite when you worship Me. You've got to really mean it. You have to do it from your heart. It has to be in spirit. It must be authentic. It must be genuine. You have to really mean it when you say, "God, I love You." Otherwise, God says, don't bother. Don't just give Me lip service. It's got to be in spirit. And then our worship must be accurate. That is, it must be in truth. Listen, you can't just make up your idea about God and worship that. Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, you know, Preacher Mike, every once in a while, I like to think of God as..." And then you fill in the blank. "I like to think of God as..." And I want to say, "Well, who made you the expert?" The truth is, you just made that up. And when you make up an idea about God, there's a word in the Bible that is used to describe that. It's the word idol. And God says, don't make Me into your image. I want to make you into My image. Now listen, it doesn't really matter what you think God is like. Quite frankly, it doesn't matter what I think God is really like. What matters is, what is He really like? And we must worship Him in truth. We can't just make up a God and worship that. We must worship the true God. Did you notice John 4:23 says they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks? Did you know the Bible says that God is looking for people who want a relationship with Him? Is there anybody in this world who wants to really know God and get close to God? That's what God says. And He wants us to know Him and be close to Him, and that's the first purpose of our lives, is to know God, love God, and worship God. The early church did that. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, the Bible says, they worshiped together regularly in the temple courts. In other words, the early Christians had a specific place where they worshiped. And guess what? We've got one right here. We've got one right here in this church facility right here. And so they had a place to worship. Now, by the way, let me go on and say that you don't just worship one day a week. Did you know that? You ought to worship God all through the week. Over there in Psalms 27:4, it says, the thing I seek most of all is the privilege of meditating in His temple, living in His presence every day of my life, and delighting in His incomparable perfection and glory. Notice the verse says we're to experience God every day of our lives. Do you do that? You know, I think about myself. Do you have a quiet time every day where you get with God and you spend some time with God every day? You ought to do that. But also notice the verse talks about meditating in the temple. We're to do that too in our worship of the Lord. You know, we have some people today who come. I remember Fountain Inn when I was over there. You know, we'd have people who'd come to our churches. We'd have them come for Sunday school, but we would never see them come into the worship service. Well, friends, Sunday school is important, but that's not worship. You are missing a vital part of your life if you just go to Sunday school and you don't come to worship. And the Bible talks about being a part of the corporate time of worship. Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's just saying don't skip out on time of worship. Now, if you're a child of God, and if you're a member of the church somewhere, you ought to be there. Whenever they go to worship, you ought to be a part of that time. I mean, if you miss out on that, there's not going to be much joy in your life. Why, Preacher Mike? Because you were made for God, see. When you worship the Lord here at church and in a daily way in your life, you're going to experience the joy of knowing the Lord. The psalmist says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. All right, now here's the quiz. What's the first purpose of White Plains Baptist Church? And all the people said, worship. That's what you're to be about. When your new preacher comes, that's what you're to be about. You are to be about worship. In fact, we don't wait till he comes. We're doing it now, aren't we? Amen? So we worship. Then number two, what else are we to do as a church? Anybody want to give a guess? It's the word fellowship. Number one, we worship. Number two, we fellowship. Now, what do we mean like when you say fellowship? Preacher, we're going to do that tonight. We're going to have all that good ice cream. We're all going to gain about 10 pounds apiece. And then next Sunday night, we're going to start a course on dieting. How about that? Anybody in favor of that? Well, that's part of fellowship. That's a good thing for churches to do. But what I'm talking about is God wants us to connect with other believers in fellowship. God wants you to make a connection with Him, number one, in worship, and then He wants you to connect with other members of His family. And fellowship is learning to love other people in God's family. Oh my. I went to the pastor's conference here in the association the other day, and they were talking about some churches that they know about where they don't have a whole lot of love for one another. And I thought to myself, well, that's not White Plains Baptist Church. That church loves each other. But now there are churches who don't love each other. 1 Peter 1:3 says, God has given us the privilege of being born again so that we're now members of His own family. And the Bible says God is love, and it says He wanted a family. And one reason you're alive is because God wants you to be a part of His family. And when you give your life to Jesus, you become a part of God's family. But as a member of God's family, He wants you to love other members of the family. Now, I know when I say that, some of you are thinking, uh-oh. Kind of like that old saying, if I can come up with it. To dwell above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with those we know, That's another story. Now, you know, I know that's what we think sometimes, but the Bible says that God wants us to love each other. And He wants us to get along with each other. And He wants us to have a wonderful relationship with other believers. But there are a lot of people who are not like that. They lead very centered, self-centered lives. They live for themselves and their own comfort. And they go through life and they never learn to relate to other people. And they never learn how to love other people. And they never learn genuine fellowship. And they never learn how to get along with others. And they miss the second purpose of the church. You see, the most important thing you can do in life is to love God. The second most important thing you can do is to love other people. And that's what Jesus said one time. You remember what He said? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the first commandment. But the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. In other words, God wants us to love Him. He wants us to love each other. Incidentally, the Bible says about the early church, behold how they loved one another. Now, God didn't put you here on this earth to live an isolated life. And He didn't put you on this earth to live an insulated life. He never meant for you to be a solo act. He puts you here to love other people, to have a good relationship with them. And that's why I believe churches ought to have regular times of fellowship, like tonight, to get to know each other, to learn to love each other. And get this, that's why I believe in Sunday school, Joe. I believe in Sunday school. And I believe as much as you can, you ought to have classes graded by ages and grades or affinity groups. Because it's in those groups where you're going to find friendship. We were talking Wednesday night a little bit about this, and I mentioned something to the church that I have found out, and I've read this and found it to be true. You have somebody come into your church, and they join your church. Sometimes we'll have people join our church, and we'll wonder, well, after a few weeks, they don't come back anymore, and we wonder where they went. But here's the thing. If you have somebody come into your church, and within 6 months, they've not made six friends, what they considered friends, they'll quit coming to your church. Now, how do they build relationships? Through the Sunday school. It's in those groups that you typically find people who are the same cycle of life you are, facing some of the same situations. It's those people that you're going to make a connection with, see? Let me show you what I mean by a verse in the Bible. 1 Timothy 3:15. Talks about that family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. I see that word foundation. Anything you build needs a good foundation. You go out there to California where they have earthquakes. If you don't have a good foundation, when an earthquake comes, your home is not going to make it. So listen to me right here, folks. We are all going to have our own personal earthquakes at some time. Could be a personal earthquake. Maybe a health problem. Maybe a financial problem or a problem with somebody you love. And if you don't have the support and the foundation of the truth, you're not going to make it. I've had people tell me in my church in Fountain Inn when I was there, they would go through a very difficult time. Maybe lose a loved one or have somebody who is in their family and they're not living right, doing right. Or maybe there's a financial setback and they'll say, Preacher Mike, what would we do if we didn't have our church family to lean on? Some of you have found that to be true, amen? I mean, you need a good church family, and this church is your spiritual family. You need that. The early church had this kind of relationship, Acts 2:46. They worshiped together regularly in the temple courts, and they met in small groups. Now, I said a while ago that some people come to Sunday school, never come to worship. But then on the other hand, some people come to worship, never go to Sunday school, and so they miss those relationships that's going to help them get through life. We had a couple come to our church some years ago. And they would come in, we started at 11 o'clock, they'd come in about 2 minutes till 11 and go and sit on the father's seat back of the auditorium. Soon as we said the closing prayer at the end of the service, they were out the door. And so I asked some of the people, before they get out the door, be sure to speak to them. But they got out the door so fast, nobody could speak to them. And then we got to missing them. And I wondered, why did we miss them? And somebody had said they talked to them, and those people said we were not a friendly church. Now I'm going, duh. It takes two to tango. And you come in 2 minutes, 11, leave just as soon as a prayer. And nobody, you go out, the Bible says, if you're going to have friends, you must be friendly. But that's what I'm saying. You've got to be a part of a small group. You've got to make connections with people. Some people come to worship, never come to Sunday school. And if you don't do that, you're missing out because you need that fellowship. Romans 12:5 says we belong to each other and each of us needs all the others. Let me just kind of sum up this point. Something I read, the California Department of Mental Health. They're not a Christian organization, folks. California Department of Mental Health. I want you to listen to what they said. If you isolate yourself from other people and you never develop any close fellowship, you are 3 times as likely to die an early death. You are 4 times more likely to suffer an emotional burnout. You are 5 times more likely to be clinically depressed. And you are 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for an emotional or mental disorder. Preacher Mike, what are you saying? We need to worship God, number one. We need fellowship with one another, number two. Listen, if you get in trouble, there's going to be somebody in this church that's going to be there for you. I've already been here long enough to see that. Somebody's going to be there for you. If they know about it, they're going to be there for you. And hey, you know what? I love that. That's a wonderful thing. See, I need people like you. You need people like each other. Why? Because this is a wicked world in which we live. And the second purpose of the church is fellowship. We're going to do a little bit tonight. I got a big old spoon for some ice cream, okay? Worship, number one. What's number two? Fellowship. All right, number three. Preacher Mike, when the new preacher comes, what are we supposed to do as a church? We're supposed to worship God. We're supposed to love each other in fellowship. And then number three is discipleship. Discipleship. You see, folks, Christians need to develop spiritual maturity through discipleship. And that's one of the purposes of your church. The church wants to help you grow to spiritual maturity through discipleship. Now, you say, well, that word discipleship, that's kind of a hard word. What does that word mean? Well, that's just the Bible word for growing up. God wants you to mature in the Christian faith. God wants you to grow up in the Christian faith. It's the process of growing as a Christian to spiritual maturity. And as a child of God, that's the process of becoming a disciple. God does not want you to stay a spiritual baby. You say, what you talking about? Well, the Bible says when you get saved, you are born what? Again. And when you get saved, you are a spiritual baby. But God does not want you to stay that way. He wants you to grow up. Now, Preacher Mike, how do you grow up? Well, you learn God's Word. You trust His wisdom. You obey His commands. You develop His character. And through all of that, you grow. And God wants you to grow up. I have seen a lot of people. A lot of people who are saved, but they are so shallow. And they're stuck in perpetual immaturity. I've got 3 children. My 3 children are well into their adult years. I look at my 3 children and I think to myself, gee whiz, they look like they're getting old. And then I look at myself in the mirror and I think, you are old. All right, and I got 3 children who are middle-aged now. You know what? I don't want to be putting diapers on them anymore. That would be sad if I had to do that. I've seen that situation. We had a couple in our church who had a son, and because of an affliction, he was in his early 50s, and he'd crawl around on the floor, had some diapers on. That's a sad thing. You see, if you have children and they never grow up, that's tragic. If their growth is stunted and they stay like toddlers, I mean, you'd be worried about them. And I believe sometimes on Sunday morning God just visits all our churches, and I think He looks at some of our folks in our pews, and He's concerned when He sees somebody who's been saved for a few years and they're not growing up. Now, in your church, one of the things you want to do is to help Christians grow. That's one of the functions of the Sunday school that I talked about a while ago. The Sunday school tries to teach the Word of God because it's like spiritual food. The Bible tells us, desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. And so the church teaches the Bible because, well, when the Bible is preached, the principle of God's words begin to get inside of us and start working in us and helping us to mature in our Christian faith. Hopefully you're going to get a preacher who stands in this pulpit, and when he preaches, he's going to preach the Bible. You don't need somebody to preach their opinion. You don't need somebody to preach what's taking place out there every week in the daily news. When they come here, they need to preach the Bible, and you need to teach the Word of God. I tell you what, I come in sometimes in this door on Sunday mornings, and maybe I'm a few minutes late, and Vicki's up here teaching, and I'm hearing what she's teaching, and I think, man, that's good stuff. And I kind of creep around, and you don't know I do this, do you? I kind of creep around, you know, sometimes on Sunday morning, and I kind of listen in what somebody's saying in there, and I'm thinking, you know, that's pretty good stuff. What are they doing? They're teaching God's Word. I need that. See, and you need that in order to help us grow in our lives, in our spiritual lives. Now, you know, I also know that in our church in Fountain Inn, not only Sunday mornings, but some Sunday nights, sometimes on Tuesday mornings, sometime on Tuesday nights, or through the week, we would have special study groups. And we would have people come, and we would advertise these things, and we'd talk about these things, and we'd say, now you need to come and be a part of this special study meeting at this time. In fact, some of them, we had them meet more than one time a week so that if they couldn't come one time, they could come the other time. What were we doing? We were trying to help them grow in their Christian faith. And so we would have these times. But the sad part of this is that a lot of our church members would never come to any of those classes. We'd have a lot of our church members who would never come to Sunday school, and they were robbing themselves of a prime opportunity to learn some things that will help them grow in the Christian life. Let me tell you what I've seen in churches in my ministry. I've seen some Christians fall into problems and issues of life and grapple with those things not long after we had some study about it. But those people didn't attend. And if they had come and put into practice what they learned, they would not have had near the hard time dealing with that issue in life. We did a thing one time. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Dave Ramsey. Does that name ring a bell to anybody? All right. Dave Ramsey's got some good stuff. And there for a while, and I think they still do this at Fountain Inn, every year we would teach a course on finances from Dave Ramsey. Several weeks. I think it was the first time we had one of those courses. We were about 2 or 3 weeks into that thing. And we had a couple, there was a couple that came to me after we'd started that, and they were so discouraged, and they said, Preacher Mike, we are so far in debt, we'll never get out of it in our lifetime. But you know what? They learned some principles in that lesson. It helped them cut down their faith significantly. And when we got through with those sessions during that first year, we had saved a lot of folks hundreds of thousands of dollars just trying to get rid of debt. Now that's just down to earth, folks, but where did they learn that? They learned that in the house of God, see? I mean, you know, here's the bottom line. If you're not doing some things to be discipled in your life, and if you're not growing in the Lord, then you're not going to experience the joy in your life that the Lord wants you to have. And the church should be trying to provide you with some things that will help you grow. You're not going to experience the joy God wants you to have until you are allowing yourself to be discipled. Y'all remember the old Army commercial, I think was on television? And the theme of that commercial said, be all that you can be. Let me tell you what about every person in this room right now. God has a divine plan for your life. Everybody in here. No matter how insignificant you consider yourself or how important for that matter, God has a plan for your life. When you were born into this world, God had a plan for your life. Just suppose we took that plan God had for your life and we had a screen up here and we just kind of did a graph up here of your life that God had designed for you. And then let's take this one step closer. Suppose the life that you lived to this point so far, we superimposed over the God's plan for your life. How close would those two things match? That's an interesting question. In other words, I'm saying, are you becoming all that God wants you to be? Are you being discipled in the faith? You see, in this church, we are to worship God, we are to fellowship with one another, and then what's the third thing? Discipleship. This is a place where we can come and grow in the Lord Jesus and serve Him a whole lot better in our lives. Now, I knew this was going to happen. My time's up. I got two more points. Y'all didn't listen quick enough this morning, so we'll finish up next week. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, if you would, please. I want to ask you seriously this morning, as a child of God, are you all that you could be for Jesus? How close is your life to what God has planned for you? You say, Preacher Mike, it's too late for me. No, it's not. If you got in on God's plan, you could still accomplish all that He has for you from here on out. And maybe as we sing this invitation hymn in just a moment, this might be a time where you feel a little convicted in your heart that maybe you hadn't been measuring up to what God expects here lately, and you'd like to just come in a time of recommitment of your life to Him and rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus to be a better servant for Him and to help this church accomplish the purposes God has designed for this church, and to assist the pastor when he comes to do all that God has designed for this church. And maybe you're here today and you're looking for a church home, and God has led you to this place of service. Then if that's so, why don't you come and move your membership today? Or maybe if you need to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right in that pew right now. Just say a simple prayer and ask Him to forgive your sins and to come into your heart and to save you from your sins, and He'll do that right away. Then you come and make that decision public. Or maybe you just want to come and pray about something on your heart. Then you come and do that. But in a moment when we sing our invitation hymn, you come and do what God would have you do. There are a lot of us that are praying for you this morning, and you come and do that right now. Father, I thank You so much that You have created something like the church. I have spent all of my life, Lord, in the church. I can think of people down through the years who've invested in my life, things they taught me, things they illustrated for me through the godly lives they've lived. I just thank You for Your church, and I thank You, Lord, that through the years White Plains has been like that too. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to redouble our efforts to be all that You'd have us be. I pray, Father, that this will be a faithful church in this community, a healthy church, to point people to Jesus, and to help them to grow in Him. And we'll thank You for all that You do for us. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.